How can I not feel their pain?
Our friend Jerry said to us that it seemed to him that the majority of his discomfort is because of observing others who are in discomfort or in pain. And he wanted to know how he could use the pivoting process to not feel pain about their pain. We explained that whatever the subject of your attention, it contains things that you want to see as well as things that you do not want to see. If you are feeling pain, it is not because the person that you are observing is in pain. Your pain is because you've chosen to look at an aspect of them that causes you to feel pain, and there's a big difference. Of course, if this person were not feeling pain but were instead joyful, it would be easier for you to feel joyful. But you must not rely on conditions changing in order to control the way you feel. You must improve your ability to focus positively regardless of the condition. And to do that, it helps to remember that every subject has wanted and unwanted within it. And if you are deliberate, you can find something that feels better. Of course, it is easier just to observe something that's right before your eyes than it is to deliberately sift for things that you would prefer to see. However, when it really matters to you that you feel good, you'll be less willing to merely lazily or sloppily observe, because your desire to feel good will inspire a greater willingness to look for positive aspects. Also, the more you do look for good-feeling things to focus upon, the more of those kinds of good-feeling things the law of attraction will bring to you, until in time you'll be so positively oriented that you simply will not notice the things that don't match your positive orientation. We were visiting with a mother at one time, and we encouraged her to just ignore her son's problems. And she said, "But won't he feel like I've abandoned him? Don't I need to be there for him?" And we explained to her that there is no abandonment in focusing upon the positive aspects of someone's life, and there is powerful value in abandoning any thoughts that do not feel good when you think them. We told her, "You will never help anyone by being their sounding board for problems or complaints. By holding an image of improvement in your son's life, you help him move toward that. Be there for him. Call him there to that better feeling place." When it's your deliberate intention to feel good, and you really care about how you feel, you'll find more and more thoughts about more and more subjects that do feel good. And then you will be better prepared to interface with others who could be feeling good or bad. Because of your desire to feel good, you will have pre-paved your experience with others with whom you will be interacting, and then it will be much easier for you to focus positively about their situation, no matter what sort of mess they're in. But if you've not been tending to your own vibration, and you've not been consistently holding yourself in good-feeling thoughts and vibrations, then you may be swept away into their situation, and you may very well feel discomfort. We just want to emphasize that you're not feeling their pain caused by their situation, but instead, you are feeling your own pain brought about by your own thinking. There's great control in that understanding, and in fact, true freedom. When you discover that you can control the way you feel because you can control the thoughts you think, then you are free to joyously move about your planet. But when you believe that the way you feel is dependent upon the behavior or situations of others, and you also understand that you have no control over those behaviors or situations, you do not feel free. That, in fact, was the pain that our friend Jerry was describing.
My sympathy is of no value to anyone.
So then Jerry said to us, "So when I take my attention off those who are in trouble, I'll feel good, but still that doesn't help them feel better. In other words, I haven't solved the problem, I'm just avoiding the problem." And we told him, if you don't focus upon their problem, you can continue to feel good, but they'll still have the problem. That is true at first. But if you do focus upon their problem, you'll feel bad, they continue to feel bad, and they'll still have the problem. And if you continue to focus upon their problem, in time, you will have the problem too. However, if you don't focus upon their problem, but instead you try to imagine their solution or a positive outcome, you'll feel good. And then there is the possibility of your influencing them to more positive thoughts and outcomes. In simple terms, you are never of value to another, and you never offer a solution when you are feeling negative emotion, because the presence of negative emotion within you means you're focused upon the lack of what is wanted rather than what is wanted. So if someone's having a bad experience and they come into your awareness with a powerful wind of negativity wrapped around them, if you have not already deliberately achieved your alignment with feeling good, you may be swept into their negativity. You may become part of their chain of pain. And you may very well then pass your discomfort on to another who will then pass it on to another and so on. But if you have been deliberately setting the tone of your day by putting your head on your pillow each night and saying, "Tonight as I sleep, all attraction will stop," which means tomorrow I will have a new beginning, and tomorrow I will look for what I'm wanting to see because I want to feel good, because feeling good is the most important thing, as you awaken in the morning, you will be upon a fresh path, bringing no negativity from the day before. And then, as you walk into a room and you see someone with pain coming toward you, as this person comes with his pain, you don't become part of it, but instead, you provide a better example of happiness, for that which you feel is that which you radiate. Now, it's not likely that just because you remain happy, others will immediately join you in your happiness. In fact, when there's a great disparity between the way you are feeling and the way others are feeling, you will have a difficult time relating to one another. But in time, if you maintain your positive vibrational stance, they will either join you in your positive place or they will vibrate right out of your experience. The only way unhappy people can stay in your experience is by your continuing attention to them and their unhappiness. If you and two other people were walking along a mountain ledge, and you were not watching where you were going, and you stumbled and fell over the edge, and you were hanging by a very flimsy vine, and one of your friends was very strong and sure-footed, and the other was very clumsy and not focused, which one would you be glad was there? Looking for the positive aspects is the way you find your sure footing. It is who you are from an inner perspective. And as you consistently align with increasingly better feeling thoughts, the powerful resources of the universe become available to you. To sympathize with another means to focus upon their situation until you feel as they feel. And since everyone has the potential of feeling wonderful or feeling awful, of succeeding at their desires or of failing at their desires, you have options about which aspects of them you sympathize with. We encourage you to sympathize with the best feeling aspects of others that you can find. And in doing so, you may influence them to an improved condition also.
To not hurt when they feel hurt.
A man once asked us, "How do you end a relationship without being hurt by the other person being hurt? If you decide that it's time to move on and the other person's not ready to move on, so he or she is distraught, how can you keep your balance in a situation like that?" And we said to him, "When you attempt to guide your behavior by paying attention to how someone else feels about your behavior, you're powerless because you cannot control their perspective and therefore you cannot achieve any consistent improvement in your own vibration or point of attraction or how you feel. If you've decided to take the action of leaving a relationship before you've done the vibrational work of focusing upon what you want and why you want it, any action that you take can only bring you more of the same discomfort that you've been experiencing. And even once the relationship is ended and you are alone or beginning another relationship with another person, those old lingering negative vibrations will not allow a pleasant unfolding. In other words, it's so much better to find your vibrational balance before you take the action of separation, or you may experience a rather long time of discomfort. We told our friend, "Let's examine the components of the situation and bring some clarity to your options. You've come to the conclusion, as a result of being unhappy in this relationship for a while, that it would be better to end it. In other words, you believe that your chance of happiness is greater outside of the relationship than inside it. But when you announce that to your partner becomes even more unhappy. And now because your partner is more unhappy, you're more unhappy. One option is to stay. To say, 'Never mind, don't be unhappy. I've changed my mind. I'll stay.' But all that has happened is that you were both feeling unhappy, you made a decision to leave, which made your partner even more unhappy, and now you've pulled back from that decision, so your partner is not quite as unhappy as before, but still, neither of you are happy, so nothing has changed except that things got a bit more intense for a while, but basically, you're still unsatisfied and unhappy in this relationship. Another option is to just leave. You could focus upon all of the things that have caused you to feel uncomfortable in the relationship and use those things as your justification for leaving. And while that negative focus upon negative things will give you the conviction to take the action of leaving, you will really not feel that much better. While you may feel some relief from the intensity of your unhappiness once you're on the outside of the relationship, you'll continue to feel a need to justify your action of leaving, which will continue to hold you in an unpleasant state. So even though you've walked away from the things that were really bothering you, you'll still feel bothered. Really, there is nothing that you can do to prevent others from feeling bad, because they don't feel bad because of your behavior. There's no greater entrapment in relationship or in life than an attempt to keep others happy by observing their emotions and then trying to compensate with your actions. The only way you can be happy is to decide to be happy. When you take upon yourself the responsibility of someone else's happiness, you're attempting the impossible, and you're setting yourself up for a great deal of personal discord. So now let's consider the options of pivoting and positive aspects. Stay where you are for now, making no big change in your action or behavior. In other words, if you're living together, continue to do so. If you're spending time together, continue to do so. This option is a change in your thought process, not your action process. The process of pivoting and the process of positive aspects are designed to help you focus differently and to begin telling the story of your relationship or of your life in a better feeling, more self-empowering way. For example, I've been thinking about leaving this relationship because I find that I'm not happy within it. But as I think about leaving, I realize that when I go, I'll take myself with me. And if I leave because I'm unhappy, I'll be taking that unhappy person with me. The reason that I want to leave is because I want to feel good. I wonder if it's possible to feel good without leaving. I wonder if there's anything about our relationship that I could focus upon that does feel good. I remember meeting this person and how that felt. I remember feeling drawn by this person and eager to move forward to see what more we might discover together. I liked the feeling of discovery. I liked our relationship as it began. I think that the more time we spent together, the more we realized that we were not really a perfect match. I don't believe that there's any failure on either of our parts in that. Not being a perfect match doesn't mean that either of us is wrong. It only means that there are potentially better partners out there for each of us. There are so many things about this person that I like and that anyone would easily appreciate. So smart and interested in so many things. Laughs easily and likes to have fun. I'm glad that we've come together, and I believe that our time together will prove to be of value to both of us. So our answer to this important question is, you cannot control the pain that any other feels by modifying your behavior. You can, however, control your own pain by directing your thoughts until your pain subsides and is replaced by improved feelings. As you give your attention to what you're wanting, you will always begin to feel good. As you give your attention to the lack of what you're wanting, you will always feel bad. And if you give your attention to the lack of what someone else is wanting, you'll feel bad also. You're so action-oriented as physical beings that you really think that you have to fix everything right now. Your partner did not get to this place all of a sudden. Your partner did not even get there only during your relationship. It's been a long path. Momentum has been gathering along the way. So don't expect that a conversation that you're having in this moment is going to make all of the difference. See yourself as one who is planting a seed, a very strong, sure, powerful seed. You've planted it perfectly, and you've nurtured it for a time with your words, so that long after you're gone, that seed will continue to blossom into that which it is to be. There are many relationships that are not appropriate for you to continue, but we would never walk out of a relationship feeling angry or guilty or defensive. Do the vibrational work, get to feeling good, and then leave. And then what comes next will not be a replay of what you just left.
I'm not responsible for others' creations.
You must not accept the responsibility for what others are doing in their own life experience. See them as emerging from the lack and know that it's going to get better for them later. And then you'll begin to feel better. You may even inspire them in their sleep state to an improved direction. When you think about them, see them as happy. Don't regurgitate in your mind the sad conversations you've had or the parting. Instead, envision them as getting on with their life just as you're getting on with yours. Trust that they have the guidance within them to find their own way. What trips most of you up so often in your wanting to help others is that you believe they need me because they can't help themselves. But that belief is detrimental to them because down deep inside, they know they can do it, and they're wanting to do it. Begin to say things to your partner such as, "You're such a wonderful person. And while we haven't connected on as many levels as I would like, I know there's a perfect partner waiting for you, and I'm releasing you to that opportunity. Look for it. I don't want to keep you caged here, captive to something that neither one of us wants. I want to free us both to that which we both are wanting. I'm not telling you goodbye forever. I'm saying, let's let this relationship have a new understanding between us, one that's inspired from passionate, positive desire, not one that's whipped into place because we're afraid of the possible consequences. And then say to the person, when I think of you, I will always know that while you're sad now, you're going to be happy later. I'm going to choose to see you as happy because that's the way I like you best, and that's what you like best too. This may sound tough or cold, but nothing else makes sense.
Listen for guidance or reach for good feelings.
You have the ability to pivot under any and all conditions. It does not matter how negative something seems, you have the ability to give your attention to the positive aspects of it. The only things that get in your way are some old habits or maybe some strong influence from others. Most people are habitual in nature, and your patterns are so well entrenched that at times the fastest path to the joy you seek is for you to take your pivot as you sleep and then awaken in the new day already in the direction of what you're wanting. By reaching for good-feeling thoughts before you go to sleep and then experiencing the benefit of the quiet mind that occurs while you sleep and then upon awakening immediately turning to good-feeling thoughts, you can accomplish the ultimate pivoting experience. A few days of following that pattern will provide a big change in your habit of thought and your point of attraction, and you'll discover immediate improvement in virtually every aspect of your life.
What if I played the what-if game?
As we encourage that you do your best to find positive aspects upon whatever subject is before you, there are often those who ask, but what about the man who just lost his job and has a wife and five children and his rent is due in 2 days and he doesn't have the money to pay it? Or what about the woman who has the Gestapo army at her door about to take her to be killed in a gas chamber? How could these people pivot? And to those extreme questions, we often reply, it's as if you've jumped out of an airplane at an altitude of 20,000 feet and you have no parachute, and so you're saying, now what do I do? You're usually not faced with such extreme circumstances from which it seems there is no possible comfortable escape. However, these extreme situations, with all of the drama and trauma that they bring, also bring a power that, with the right focus, can provide resolutions that someone watching from the outside would find astonishing or even miraculous. In other words, there is no situation from which you cannot find a positive resolution, but you have to be able to focus powerfully in order to accomplish such a solution. And most people who are in those kinds of situations are not adept at that kind of focus, which is why they're experiencing the negative situation to begin with. When you're involved in extreme situations, a power comes forth from within, and so the intensity of your desire will put you upon a plateau where, if you can just get focused, you can have your greater elevation. In other words, those who are very sick are in a better position to be even more well than most others, because their desire for wellness is amplified. But unless they're able to pivot or to turn their attention to their desire for wellness and away from their concern about illness, they cannot become well. We would encourage you to play the what-if game, looking for positive aspects. In other words, rather than looking into your society for examples of disempowered people having no control over the circumstances of their lives, tell a story that gives you a feeling of empowerment. Instead of telling stories of powerless victims and amplifying your own feeling of being a victim, tell a different story. For example, what if this woman, before the Gestapo army came pounding on her door, had recognized the rumblings of the looming Holocaust that were in the community weeks before? What if she'd left the community when many others had left? What if she'd not been afraid of the unknown? What if she'd not held to the familiar? What if she'd made the decision to start a new life in a new country with her sister and her aunt and uncle 2 weeks ago so that she was not at home when the Gestapo came calling? When you play the what-if game, look for things you do want to see. Look for things that make you feel better. There is never a situation in which there is not a way out. In fact, there are hundreds and thousands of practical choices along the way. But out of habit, most people continue to choose the lack perspective in situations until they eventually find themselves in an unwanted place where it seems that there are no more choices. As you hold to your intention to look for evidence of well-being and thriving and success and happiness, you will tune yourself to the vibrations of those things, and so those kinds of good-feeling experiences will dominate your life. Today, no matter where I'm going, no matter what I'm doing, it is my dominant intent to look for what I am wanting to see. As you make the decision that you're not a mere observer of your world, but a deliberate positive contributor to your world, You'll find great pleasure in your involvement with what's going on upon your planet. When you witness things that you do not want to happen in your world, in your nation, in your neighborhood, in your family, or even in your personal body, and you remember that you have the power to tell a different story, and you also know that there is enormous power in telling a different story, you will then step back into the exuberant knowledge that you held when you made the decision to come forth to participate on this planet to begin with. You cannot be in a place other than where you are right now, but you do have the power to begin to express your perspective about where you are in increasingly better ways. And as you do that consciously and deliberately, you'll see the evidence of the power of your focus on every subject to which you turn your attention. As you make the decision that you want to feel good and you consciously look for positive aspects within the subjects that you're involved in every day, and as you deliberately identify and focus upon what you do want regarding these subjects, you'll set yourself upon a path of eternal unfolding satisfaction and joy. These processes are simple to understand and to apply, but don't let their simplicity cause you to underestimate their power. Consistently apply them and show yourself the leverage of the power of aligned thought. Discover the power of the energy that creates worlds, the power that you have always had ready access to, but which you now understand how to apply, and focus it toward your own personal creations.
Part 2, Attracting Money and Manifesting Abundance.
While money is not absolutely essential to your experience, to most people, money and freedom are synonymous. And since an intense awareness of your right to be free is at the very core of that which you are, it then follows that your relationship with money is one of the most important subjects of your life experience. And so it's no wonder you have such strong feelings about the subject of money. Although some people have discovered the freedom of allowing large amounts of money to flow through their experience, it's more often the case that because you're experiencing far less money than you need or desire, most of you are not feeling free. It is our intention here to clearly explain why this financial disparity exists, so that you can begin to allow the abundance that you want and deserve into your experience. As you hear these words and as you begin to resonate with these law-based truths, you'll align your desire with the abundance of your world, and then the evidence of your newfound alignment will soon become apparent to you and to others who observe you. Whether you're one who's been working to achieve financial abundance for many years, or you're a youngster just starting down that path, the journey to financial well-being does not have to be a long one from where you are. And it does not require large amounts of time or physical effort, for we're going to explain to you in simple and easy-to-understand terms how to utilize the leverage of energy that's available to you. We want to show you the absolute correlation between the thoughts you've been thinking about money, the way you feel when you think those thoughts, and the money that flows into your experience. When you're able to consciously make that correlation, and you decide to deliberately direct your thoughts accordingly, you'll access the power of the universe, and you'll then see how time and physical effort are rather irrelevant to your financial success. So we will begin with the simple premise of your universe and of your world. You get what you think about. Often people say to us, that can't be true, because I've wanted and thought about more money for as long as I can remember, but I continue to struggle and not have enough money. And what we tell them then is the most important thing for you to understand if you want to improve your financial situation. The subject of money is really two subjects. Money, plenty of money, the feeling of freedom and ease that plenty of money can provide, and absence of money, not nearly enough money, the feeling of fear or disappointment that the thought of absence of money induces. Often people assume that because they're speaking the words, I want more money, they're speaking positively about money. But when you're speaking of money or anything, and you're feeling fear or discomfort as you speak, you're not speaking about the subject of money, but instead you're speaking about the subject of not enough money. And the difference is very important because the first statement brings money and the second holds it away. It is of value for you to become aware of how you are really thinking, and more important, how you're feeling about money. If you're thinking or saying things like, oh, that's a very beautiful thing, but I can't afford it, you're not in a vibrational place to allow the abundance in that you desire. The feeling of disappointment that is present as you acknowledge that you cannot afford it is your indicator that the balance of your thought is pointed more toward the lack of your desire than toward the desire itself. The negative emotion that you feel as you acknowledge that you cannot afford something that you want is one way of understanding the balance of your thoughts, And the amount of abundance that you're actually experiencing is another way of knowing. Many people continue to perpetuate the experience of not enough in their lives simply because they don't think beyond the reality of what they're actually experiencing. In other words, if they're experiencing the shortage of money and are aware of it and speak of it often, they hold themselves in that chronic position. And so many people protest when we explain to them the power of telling the story of their finances as they want it to be rather than as it is, because they believe that they should be factual about what's happening. But we want you to understand that if you continue to look at what is and speak of what is, you'll not find the improvement that you desire. You may see a parade of changing faces and places, but your life experience will essentially show no improvement. If you want to affect substantial change in your life experience, you have to offer substantially different vibrations, which means you must think thoughts that feel different as you think them.
Lackful action doesn't pay off. Well, Abraham, many years ago, I owned a motel down near El Paso, Texas, and H.L. Hunt, who at that time was one of the wealthiest men in the United States, he was one of the multi-billionaires, called me. He had purchased, it's called Ojo Caliente, a small resort down on the Rio Grande River that was financially failing, and he'd heard that I might have some useful information to help him turn it around. As we were visiting in my little coffee shop, I had a difficult time focusing on our conversation because I just couldn't understand why a man that wealthy would be still discontent and looking for a way of making more money. I wondered why he didn't just sell the place at whatever price and go on about his life enjoying the money he had already accumulated. And I have another friend who's in the multi-billionaire class. We were in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, walking on the beach a few years ago, and he was talking about some business problems he was having. And it really struck me that that man, so wealthy, would have any kinds of troubles. But what I've learned from you, Abraham, and I've learned a lot from you, is that our true success in life is not about how much money we have or about having the things, right?
The things that you have and the things that you do are all meant to enhance your state of being. In other words, it's all about how you feel, and how you feel is all about coming into alignment with who you really are. When you tend to your alignment first, then the things you gather and the actions you perform only enhance your good feeling state of being. But if you do not find that vibrational balance first, and attempt to make yourself feel better by bringing more things into your experience or participating in more activities in order to try to make yourself feel better, you just get further out of balance. We're not guiding you away from accumulating things or from taking action, because all of that is an essential part of your physical experience. In other words, you intended the wonderful experience of exploring the details of your physical world in order to help you personally determine your own joyous growth and expansion. But when you try to move forward from an imbalanced footing, it's always uncomfortable. If you'll begin by identifying how you want to feel or be, and then let your inspiration to accumulate or do come from that centered place, then not only will you maintain your balance, but you will now enjoy the things that you gather and the things that you do. Most people do most of their wanting from a place of lack. They want things in many cases simply because they do not have them. So the having of them does not really satisfy anything deep within them, because there's always something else that they do not have. And so it becomes a never-ending struggle to try to bring one more thing that still will not be satisfying, into their experience. Because I don't have this, I want it. And then they really think that getting it will fill the void. But that defies law. Any action that's taken from a place of lack is always counterproductive, and it always leads to more of a feeling of lack. The void that these people are feeling cannot be filled with things or satisfied with action, because the feeling of void is about the vibrational discord between their desires and their chronic habits of thought. Offering better feeling thoughts, telling a different story, looking for positive aspects, pivoting to the subject of what you really do want, looking for positive what-ifs, that's how you fill that void. And when you do, a most interesting thing will occur in your experience. The things you have wanted will begin to flood into your experience. But these things that you've been wanting will flood into your experience not to fill your void, because that void no longer exists. They flow in because your void no longer exists. Certainly, you will gather many magnificent things into your experience. Our message is not for you to stop wanting, having, or doing. Our message is for you to want and accumulate and do from your place of feeling good.
Neither money nor poverty makes joy. Abraham, there's a saying that money doesn't make for happiness, But on the other hand, I've noticed that poverty doesn't make for happiness either. But still, it's obvious that money isn't the path to a happiness. So, if the idea of achieving something does bring us happiness, does that mean that the achievement is an appropriate goal for us to set? And how does a person maintain his or her feeling of happiness when reaching one's goal is taking a lot of their time and energy? In other words, it often seems it's a sort of uphill climb to reach the goal, and then there's a short plateau of rest, but then an almost immediate, tedious climb to achieve the next goal. In other words, how does a person keep all of the climbing toward their goals joyous so there's not that struggle, 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 and then, wow, I've made it, and then struggle, 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 and, oh, here, I've made it again.
You're right. Money is not the path to happiness. And as you've observed, poverty certainly is not the path to happiness either. It's so important to remember that when you offer any action for the purpose of achieving happiness, you're truly going about it in a backward way. Instead, use your ability to focus your thoughts and words toward things that cause you to feel better and better. And once you've deliberately achieved a state of happiness, not only will wonderful actions be inspired, but wonderful results must follow. Most people give the majority of their attention to whatever is happening in their experience right now, which means if the results please them, they feel good, but if the results do not please them, they feel bad. But that's really going about life the hard way. If you only have the ability to see what is, then things cannot improve. You must find a way to look optimistically forward in order to achieve any improvement in your experience. When you learn how to deliberately focus your thoughts toward good-feeling things, it's not difficult to find happiness and maintain it even before your goal has been accomplished. The feeling of struggle you were describing happens because of the continual comparison of where you are right now in relationship to the goal you're reaching for. When you're constantly taking score, noticing the distance that still needs to be traveled, you amplify the distance, the task, the effort, and that's why it feels like such an uphill struggle. When you care about how you feel, and so you choose thoughts on the basis of how they feel, you then develop patterns of thought that are more forward-looking. And as the law of attraction then responds to those better-feeling thoughts, you get more pleasing results. Struggle, struggle, struggle never leads to a happy ending. It defies law. When I get there, then I'll be happy, is not a productive mindset, because unless you're happy, you can't get there. When you decide to first be happy, then you'll get there.
I am here as a joyful creator.
You're not here as accumulators or regurgitators. You're here as creators. When you're looking toward an ending place, you exaggerate the feeling of lack between where you are now and that ending place. And that habit of thought can not only slow the progress of your creation, but can hold it apart from you indefinitely. You are the attractor of your experience. As you look for positive aspects and make an effort to find good-feeling thoughts, you will hold yourself in a place of positive attraction, and what you want will come faster. The sculptor of a work of art does not derive his greatest satisfaction from the finished piece. It is the process of creation, the sculpting of the piece, that gives him pleasure. That's the way we would like you to view your physical experience of creating, continual, joyful becoming. As you focus your attention upon things that feel good and achieve a consistently joyful state of being, you'll then be in the position of attracting more of whatever you want. Sometimes people complain that it seems unfair that they have to become happy before things that bring them more happiness can then come to them. They believe that when they are unhappy, they need the happy events to come. But when they're already happy, then the happy events are unnecessary. But that would defy the law of attraction. You have to find a way of feeling the essence of what you desire before the details of that desire can come to you. In other words, you have to begin to feel more prosperous before more prosperity can come. Often people tell us that they want more money. And when we ask them what their balance of thought is about money, they tell us that they have a very positive attitude about money. But as we probe a bit deeper, asking them how they feel when they sit to pay their bills, they often then realize that while they may have been attempting to sound positive about the subject, they've actually been feeling a great deal of worry or even fear around the subject of money. In other words, often without realizing it, the majority of their thoughts about money have been on the not enough side of the subject rather than on the abundant side of the subject.
The power of vibrationally spending vibrational money.
Here's a process that can quickly help you shift the balance of your thoughts regarding money to a place where you can begin to let more money flow easily into your experience. Put $100 in your pocket and keep it with you at all times. As you move through your day, deliberately notice how many things you could exchange this money for. I could purchase that. I could do that. Someone said to us that $100 doesn't really buy that much in today's economy. But we explained that if you mentally spend that $100 1,000 times today, you've vibrationally spent $100,000. That sort of positive focus will dramatically change your vibrational balance about money. This vibrational spending process will cause you to feel differently about money. And when that happens, your point of attraction will shift, and more money must flow into your experience. It is law. Someone said to us, "I didn't have $100, but I put an IOU in my pocket." And we said, that's defeating the process, because you're walking around with a feeling of debt in your pocket, which is exactly the opposite of what you want to do. You want to feel your prosperity. And so even if it's only 20 or 50, or if it's 1,000 or 10,000 that you have in your pocket, utilize it effectively to help you notice how good things are now. Because in your acknowledgement of your prosperous now, your prosperity must become more.
Needing money won't attract it. Abraham, one of my greatest disappointments as I've worked to help people find greater financial success is that those who needed the money the most had the least success with what I was teaching them, while those who needed it the least seemed to have the most success with it. That always seemed backward to me. It seemed like those who needed it more would try harder, and eventually they should have succeeded.
Anyone who is in a place of lack, no matter how much action they offer, attracts more lack. In other words, the powerful feeling outweighs any action that they offer. Any action that's offered from a place of lack is always counterproductive. Those who were not feeling need were not in a place of lack, so their action was productive. Your experience was in absolute harmony with the law of attraction, as is every experience. There is not a shred of evidence anywhere in the universe that is to the contrary of this that we are speaking of.
Also, what I noticed was that, by and large, those people who hadn't achieved much success or weren't very interested in even hearing about achieving success were people who had been taught that to want money was evil or immoral, and that the best thing for them to do was to remain where they were, even though they were unfulfilled.
The reason that many reach a place where they say that they do not have desire is because they've wanted and wanted and wanted. But because they've not understood that every subject is two subjects, they've given more of their attention to the lack of what they have wanted than to what they want. And so they continue to attract the lack of what they want. And then eventually they were just worn down by it. As a person begins to associate wanting with not having, so much so that to want is an unpleasant experience, then he says, "I no longer want, because every time I want something, I get myself in this place of discomfort, so it's easier for me to just not want in the first place."
What if a poor one doesn't feel poor? Well, if others who are noticing you and comparing you to themselves come to the conclusion that you're poor, but you don't feel poor, then you wouldn't be in a state of lack, and so you would be able to move quickly toward more abundance in that case, right?
That is correct. Others' assessment of you has no bearing on your point of attraction, unless you're bothered by their assessment. Comparing your experience to the experiences of others can amplify a feeling of lack within you if you come to the conclusion that they have succeeded more greatly than you have, and then you activate within yourself a feeling of being less than. Also, noticing a lack of prosperity in the experiences of others does not put you in a place of attracting greater prosperity for yourself, because you'll be getting what you think about. What you draw to you or keep from you has nothing to do with what anyone else is doing. An improved feeling of prosperity, even if your current reality does not justify the feeling, will always bring more prosperity to you. Paying attention to the way you feel about money is a much more productive activity than noticing how others are doing. Allowing more money to flow into your experience requires far less than most people understand. All that's required is that you achieve a vibrational balance in your own thoughts. If you want more money but you doubt you can achieve it, you're not in balance. If you want more money but you believe there's something wrong in having money, you're not in balance. If you want more money and you're angry at those who have more money, you're not in balance. When you're feeling those emotions of inadequacy, insecurity, jealousy, injustice, anger, and so on, your emotional guidance system is letting you know that you're out of alignment with your own desire. Most people make no effort in coming into personal alignment with the subject of money. Instead, they spend years, even lifetimes, pointing out perceived injustices, attempting to define the rightness or the wrongness of the subject, and even trying to put laws in place to orchestrate the flow of money in the civilization. When a rather small effort, in comparison with the impossible attempt at controlling those outside circumstances, would yield them an enormous return. Nothing is more important than that you feel good. for when you feel good, you are in harmony with your greater intent. Many believe that hard work and struggle are not only a requirement to achieve success, but that working hard and struggling long is a more honorable way of living life. Those hard times of struggle certainly do help you in the defining of what you desire, but until you release the feeling of struggle, what you desire cannot come into your experience. Often people feel as if they need to prove their worthiness, and that once that is accomplished, then and only then will rewards be given. But we want you to know that you're already worthy, and that proving yourselves worthy is not only not possible, but not necessary. What is necessary for you to receive the rewards or benefits that you seek is alignment with the essence of those benefits. You have to first bring yourself into vibrational alignment with the experience you wish to live. We know that words do not teach, and that our knowledge regarding the laws of the universe and of your value do not necessarily mean that now you've read our words that you know your value. However, as you consider the premises that we are laying out for you here, and as you begin the application of the processes that we're suggesting here, it's our knowing that the universe's response to your improved vibration will give you the evidence of the existence of these laws. It will not be long, and it will not require much deliberate application of what you're hearing here before you will be convinced of your own value and of your ability to create whatever you desire. The primary reason that people do not believe in their own value is because they often have not found a way to get what they want, so they incorrectly assume that someone outside of them does not approve and is somehow withholding the reward. That is never true. You are the creator of your experience. Make statements such as, "I want to be the best that I can be. I want to do and have and live in a way that's in harmony with my idea of the greatest good. I want to harmonize physically here in this body with that which I believe to be the best or the good way of life." If you'll make those statements and then don't take action unless you feel good, you will always be moving upon the path in harmony with your idea of that which is good.
What is my financial abundance story?
A belief in lack is the reason that more people are not allowing themselves the financial abundance they desire. When you believe that there is a finite pile of abundance and that there's not enough to go around, and so you feel injustice when someone has more than others, believing that because they have it, others are deprived of having it, you're holding yourself apart from abundance. It's not another's achievement of success that's responsible for your lack of achievement, but rather your negative comparison and your attention to the lack of your own desire. When you feel the negative emotion that you feel as you accuse others of injustice or of squandering wealth or hoarding, or when you simply believe that there's not enough to go around, you hold yourself in the position of denying your own improved condition. What anyone else has or does not have has nothing to do with you. The only thing that affects your experience is the way you utilize the non-physical energy with your thought. Your abundance or lack of it in your experience has nothing to do with what anyone else is doing or having. It has only to do with your perspective. It has only to do with your offering of thought. If you want your fortune to shift, you have to begin telling a different story. Many people criticize those who are living well, who accumulate land and money and things. And that criticism is symptomatic of their own lackful habit of thought. They want to feel better and often believe that if they can make that which they are unable to achieve wrong, then they will feel better. But they never do feel better because their attention to lack perpetuates lack everywhere they look. They would not feel uncomfortable in seeing someone else's achievement if that desire for achievement were not present within themselves as well. And that criticism that they often keep alive within themselves only serves to hold them in vibrational discord with what they want. In other words, if someone called you on the telephone and said, "Hello, you don't know me. I'm just calling to tell you that I will never call you again," you would not feel negative emotion about the caller's absence from your life because his presence was not something that you desired to begin with. But if someone you care about were to make that announcement to you, you would feel strong negative emotion because your desire and your belief would then be at odds. When you feel negative emotion about anything, it always means that you have a desire that has been born from your personal life experience that you are right now opposing with other thoughts. Vibrational discord is always the reason for negative emotion, and negative emotion is always guidance to help you redirect your thoughts to find vibrational alignment with who you really are and with your current desires.
What if the poor criticize the rich? Abraham, when I was a kid, I associated with poor people primarily, and we used to make fun of those who were wealthy. We criticized those who drove luxury cars, for instance. And so, as an adult, when it came time that I would like to have owned a Cadillac, I couldn't bring myself to drive one because I felt that people would now make fun of me as I'd made fun of the others. So I drove a Mercedes because years ago people kind of thought they were economy cars. But the only way I could bring myself to drive a Cadillac, which I finally did, was to bridge my thoughts by saying, well, by buying this car, I put all these people to work who put this car together. I created jobs for all the people who supplied the parts and the materials, the leather, the metal, the glass, and the craftsmen, and so on. And in that justification, then I was able to buy the car. So somehow I discovered a process of bridging my thoughts that helped me to allow that symbol of success into my experience.
Your process of bridging thoughts is an effective one. When you want to feel good and you gradually find increasingly better feeling thoughts, you're bringing yourself into alignment with your desire and you're releasing the resistance that is preventing your improved conditions. Focusing on opposing opinions of others is never productive because it always causes discord within you, which also prevents your improved condition. There will always be others who disagree with you, and your attention to them will always cause you to vibrationally disagree with your own desires. Listen to your own guidance system by paying attention to how you're feeling in order to determine the appropriateness of your desires and behaviors. There will always be someone, no matter which side of any subject you choose, who does not harmonize with you. And that's why we speak so firmly and want so much for you to understand that your greatest endeavor is to find harmony with who you really are. If you would trust in yourself, if you could believe that through all that you've lived, you've come to a place of very strong knowing, and that you can trust the way you feel as your personal form of guidance about the appropriateness or inappropriateness of what you're contemplating doing, then you would utilize your guidance system in the way that it was really intended.
What if our money loses value? Abraham, in the past, our money was primarily coins, metal that had a value in and of itself. Like the $20 gold piece, the gold itself was worth $20, and the silver and the silver dollar had value. And so it seems simple to understand the value of the coin. But now, our money in and of itself has no actual value. In other words, the paper and coins are essentially valueless. I've always appreciated the convenience of money as a way of exchanging goods and talents rather than trading, let's say, a chicken for a container of milk or for a basket of potatoes. But now, our money is being artificially devalued, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to really understand the value of a dollar. In other words, it reminds me of my own searching for my own value, like how much is my talent worth, or how much should I ask for in exchange for the time and energy that I put forth. But now I'm learning from you that we don't have to consider our value in that way. We only have to consider what it is we want and then to allow it in. I'm aware that many people are feeling insecure about their financial future because they feel they don't have control over what may happen to the value of the dollar, because it's typically just a handful of people who seem to control or manipulate that. Many worry that there's going to be more inflation or even another depression. I'd like people to understand what you've been teaching us about the law of attraction so that they won't be concerned with things that are outside their control, like the value of the dollar.
You've hit upon something very essential here regarding the subject of money, because you're right, many of you are recognizing that the dollars today just are not worth what they were at one time. But that's another position of lack you very often stand firmly upon that keeps you from attracting the abundance that is yours. We'd like you to understand that the dollar and its assigned value is really not as important to your experience as you're believing, and that if you could put your attention upon what you're wanting in terms of being and then having and then doing, that all of the money or other means for bringing about what you want could then flow easily and much more effortlessly into your experience. We keep coming back to the same terminology. From your place of lack, you cannot attract its opposite. And so it really is a matter of adjusting your thinking so that your thinking harmonizes with what feels good to you. Every thought that you think vibrates, and it's by virtue of having that vibrating thought that you attract. When you think a thought of lack, that thought's vibrating at a place that is so alien to that which your inner being knows to be that your inner being cannot resonate with you at all. And the resulting feeling within you is one of negative emotion. When you think a thought of upliftment or abundance or well-being, those thoughts do harmonize with what your inner being knows to be. And under those conditions, you're filled with a feeling of positive emotion. You can trust that the way you feel is the indicator about which side of the subject that you're on. Whether it's the subject of money or lack of it, or health or lack of it, or relationship or lack of it, always when you feel good, you're in the place of attracting what you are wanting.
To reverse a downward spiral? When I would see people having financial problems, I used to worry about them. I would watch as they spiraled down, 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 till they would finally come crashing down in bankruptcy. But then, in a very short time, they'd have another new boat, and a new luxury car, and another beautiful home. In other words, no one I watched seemed to stay down. But why couldn't they stop the downward spiral somewhere earlier along the way and start back upward sooner? Why did so many of them have to go all the way to the bottom before they could start back up again?
Well, the reason for any downward spiral is attention to lack. In their fear that they might lose something, or in their attention to the things that they were losing, they were focused upon the lack of what they wanted, and as long as that was their point of attention, only more loss was possible. As they felt guarded or defensive, or as they began to justify or rationalize or blame, they were on the lack side of the equation, and only more lack could be their experience. But once they hit bottom and were no longer in a place of guardedness because there was nothing else to lose, then their attention shifted, and so their vibration shifted, so their point of attraction shifted. Hitting what they believed to be the bottom caused them to begin to look up. You could say that it forced them to begin telling a different story. Your life experience has caused you to ask for many wonderful things that are making their way into your experience. But your worry or your doubt or your fear or resentment or blame or jealousy or any number of negative emotions would indicate that the predominant thoughts you were thinking were holding those things away. It would be as if you had drawn them right outside your door, but the door was closed. As you begin telling a different story of the things you could buy with your $100 bill, as you relax and focus more upon the positive aspects of your life, as you more deliberately choose the better feeling end of the vibrational stick, that door will open and you'll be flooded with manifestations of those wanted things and experiences and relationships.
A war against war is war.
Recognizing that you are the creator of your own experience and learning to deliberately do so by directing your thoughts is an adjustment for most people, because most people believe that you make things happen through action. Not only have you believed that action is what makes things happen, but you also believe that if you apply pressure to unwanted things, they'll go away. That's why you have a war against poverty, and a war against drugs, and a war against AIDS, and a war against terrorism. And although you may believe that pushing against those unwanted things will cause them to leave your experience, that's not how the laws of the universe work, and that's not the proof of your experience either, for all of those wars are getting bigger. Attention to the lack of what is wanted causes it to increase and come closer to you, just as focusing upon what is wanted causes it to increase and come closer to you. When you relax into your natural well-being, when you make statements such as, "I seek abundance and I trust the laws of the universe. I've identified the things that I want and now I'm going to relax and allow them into my experience," more of what you desire will come. If your financial situation feels like a struggle, you're pushing your financial well-being farther away. But when you begin to feel ease regarding your financial situation, you're then allowing more abundance to flow into your experience. It really is as simple as that. And so when you see others excelling in their attraction of money and you feel negative emotion about it, that is your signal that your current thought is not allowing the abundance that you desire into your experience. When you find yourself critical of the way anyone has attracted or is using money, you're pushing money away from yourself. But when you realize that what others do with money has nothing to do with you, and that your primary work is to think and speak and do what feels good to you, then you will be in alignment not only about the subject of money, but about every important subject in your physical experience.